Okay, good morning. We're continuing the Daf Yomi. Today's Daf is Daf Lamed Vav, Daf 36, Masachet Ketubot. We left off at 35b. Today's class will be for the Refuah Shalom Abba Al-Khalim Bichladam. Chemda, Barakha, Badchad, Dimshan, Ayamel, Chanukah, Merivka, Sarah, Bad Munir, Shalom, Sarah, David, Ben Archad, Yafah, Bad Avora, Rivka, Bad Achav, Rivka, Bad Asher, Shalom, Asher, Fram, Elam, Shalom, Elchana, Yafah, Bad Miriam, Yehudah, Ben Yifah, Chayzah, Bitchon, Elchah, Bechana, Simchan, Ben Maka, Miriam, Ben Achav, Yudiz, Ben Miriam, Chana, Adana, Bad Nur, Melchah, Shalom, Tamar, Shalom, Elchana, Ben Gidu, Bad Barakha, Dan, Meisai, Shalom, Nani, Akhidom, Ben Maka, Shalom, Manet, Ariyam, Ben Yifah, Yosem, Ben Dimrosh, Ben Shalom, Ben Ina, Yosef, Ben Yafah, Dan Yam, Dina, Simchan, Ben Elam, Fram, Elam, Gidi, Ben Akhul, Shalom, Ben Dimdu, Yudu, Ben Dini, Abigai, Ben Miriam, Rabbi Gabriel, Yeshua, Ben Elchah, Mechana, Malka, Bad Esther, Rabbi Shalom, Ben Shamsi, Ben Elchah, David, Ariya, Ben Rivka, להבדיל נשמע דוד בן אליהו, בן אמין, בן יצחק, ליד דינה בת אפרים, שמעון מישאל, בינה לקמת דן, בועז בן אברהם, דינה בת אהרון, תמר ברכה בת אברהם, בן יום טוב, בן יוסף. Okay, we left off at the bottom of the page on 35b, למד ה' עמוד ב', towards the bottom of the page we left off. We're starting with אמר ליה רב מתנה לאביי. רב מתנה says to אביי, about 10 lines from the bottom. The Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, the Amar, that he says, Beferush Ribtat Torah, Chayve Malkiyot Ke Chayve Mitot. That the Torah explicitly connects someone's liability to lashes to someone's liability to death, that in both of those cases, the person would be, right, we made a hekesh to the killing of an animal, to the killing of a person, and we said that the person who kills the person, or it would be liable to lashes, and there's monetary law, so it would be exempt from the monetary law. That's Rish Lakish's opinion. So he says, according to him, man tana de paligale de Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Who is the tana that that disagrees with the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, right? Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, it's towards the bottom of the page, ומחייב תשלומים מחייבי קריטות. Who would require a person to have to pay, monetary liability, even though there's a liability of karet? So the Gemara says, we're towards the bottom of the page on 35b. He says, E Rabbi Meir, if you want to say maybe it follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that he said, you loke umishalem, right? You say you get lashes and you pay. Maybe it's him. E Rabbi Yitzchak, or maybe it's the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, in Masechet Makot, who says that there is no aspect of malkut, of lashes, when someone is liable to karet. So therefore, it could be either opinion, it can go either way. That would be the opinion that disagrees with Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. Now we get towards the bottom of the page, we have a new beraita, and pretty much the whole daf is going to be about this beraita. Tanu Rabbanan, so focus, if you're going to focus, right now is the time. Arayot v'shniyot la'arayot. There's going to be four cases we're going to bring over here, and then we're going to have two cases we're going to add on the next amud. So, arayot, the illicit relations, people are forbidden to relations, vishniot la'arayot, and the second level arayot, ein lahen lo knas v'lo pitui. If someone violates them, they have no fine, they don't receive a fine, or if they are seduced, they don't receive a fine for seducing. Case number two, hamima'enet, if a woman, we know if a mother, if a woman is fatherless, and the mother, or let's say a brother, marries her off, she has the option to be mima'en, to refuse the marriage until she is an adult. So hamima'enet, if she is someone who refused, en la lo knas velo pitui, she also does not receive a fine or seducing fine. That's case number two. Case number three, ailonit, a woman who cannot have children, en la lo knas velo pitui, she also has no ability to say that she wants to get a fine or the seducing fine for being violated. That's number three. Number four, v'hayotzed mishum shemra. And if someone, on simple face value, what we think this means is someone came and said, their wife is lo matzati be'olim. I did not find her to be a virgin, right? So the Gemara says, ein la lo knas velo pitui. That type of woman does not have nor a fine, nor a seducing. If she gets seduced, she does not get a fine for that either. I mean, Rashi says over here, it doesn't make any sense. If a man comes and says that his wife is not a virgin, and he's accusing her of sleeping, while they were married, she's bat sekila. She's someone who's liable to death because she cheated, right? So what's the question over here? She receive a fine or not receive a fine? If she gets violated later on, she's liability to death. So we're going to see in the Gemara what this is referring to. Okay, these are the four cases. Now we're going to go through these four cases, and then we're going to open up a few more cases. My arayot. What is it referring to arayot? Umay shniyot la arayot. And what is it referring to? The second level arayot. So the Gemara says, ilema, perhaps we can say arayot, flipping the amud, mamash. Maybe arayot means actual arayot, right? That someone in Parashat Acharemot, we bring all of the arayot that a person is forbidden to, his sister, mother, all the types of relations that is arayot. Shniot, and the second level is midivrei sofrim, a rabbinic level. If you remember, we learned the Masechet Yevamot, in the second chapter of Yevamot of Kafa Alef, we learned over there all of the people who are on a second level of illicit relations, meaning like Em Imo, one's mother's mother, or Em Aviv, or one's mother's father, right? Or sorry, one's father's mother. All of those cases would be a second level, would be only rabbinic. Maybe that's what it meant. And the Gemara says, so the Gemara asks, Kevan de mida oraita chaziale amai en lan knas. The second level, the rabbinic level, arayot, since according to Torah law, we view them as fit for the person, right? According to Torah law, if they married someone like that, it would be a considered marriage, right? But still, what are we saying? They don't have a fine. Why don't they receive a fine if according to Torah law, they would be considered married to that person? So the Gemara says, Ela, we must say something different. Arayot chayave mitot beitin. Arayot is referring to someone who's liable to the death of beitin if they sleep with this person. Sheniot, the rabbinical, the second level. Chayave kritut, that's referring to liability of karet. Aval chayave lavin, but someone who's liable to a negative commandment. Yesh lahen knas. They would receive a fine. Again, we're on the top of 36a. They would receive a fine. These people have negative commandments. So the Gemara tries to determine who is the author here. Umani. We remember from the first chapter, we had a machloket, or maybe I think it was the second chapter, we had a machloket tonight, we had a machloket between Shimon HaTemani and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Right? Shimon HaTemani said, when do you fulfill the pasuk? When there is havaya, when you can actually marry the person, when the kiddushin counts. Right? Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh said, no, you have to be able to stay married to the person. So who is the author here? The Gemara says, Mani. So the Gemara says, Umani, Shimon HaTemani. It must be following the opinion of Shimon HaTemani that says only Chayavei Lavin, only people who would be liability of a negative commandment, they would have a fine because they are fit for marriage. Because someone who marries someone with negative commandment, Kiddushin are tofes by Chayavei Lavin, Kiddushin counts by a negative commandment. So first opinion is Shimon HaTemani. Second opinion, Ikad Amri, some say, Arayot Chayavei Mitot Beitin. Arayot is actually referring to the death at the Beit, the people have relations at the death of the Beit Din, or Chayavei Kritut, someone is liable to death by sleeping with someone. Sheniot, and the second level is Chayavei Lavin, that's referring to a negative commandment. So what do we have left? So Mani, who is the author here? Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, it must be following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. He says you have to be able to stay married to the person for them to be able to receive a fine for being violated. And none of these forbidden women can stay married to the person if they're negative commandment, karet, even though kiddushin are count by the negative commandment, you can't stay married to them. So this would be a second opinion, how to understand arayot and shniot arayot. This is the first case we discussed in the Baraita. We're moving on now to the second case. I'm gonna divide it like this because it's very important for you to see that there's four cases. The Gemara brings and adds two more. We break down the two more, and that's the daf. And it's a very simple thing. If you don't see it like this, it becomes a little bit more difficult to understand. We said in the Baraita, hamema'enet, someone who's a refusal, right? The woman who got married off by her mother or the brother, it was fatherless, she can refuse until she's bat mitzvah, until she's adult. So, ein lahen lo knas lo pitui, they don't receive a fine. So, can the Gemara infers from that, haketana be'alma, if it's just a little child, not a mema'enet, not someone who did refusal, itla, she would have a fine, she would receive a fine, we can infer from that. If it was a refusal, she would not. But if it was a regular child, she would receive a fine. So, Mani, who is the author here? The Gemara says, Rabbanan hi, it must be following the opinion of Rabbanan. Right, if you remember at the beginning of the parak, when I think it was in the beginning, Taftet Amud Aleph 29a, the Gemara brought in Machloket. Right? When we opened up in the first parak, in the beginning, the first Gemara, the Gemara brought a Machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, if a ketana, if a child would receive a fine or not for being violated. So Rabbanan say, De Amre ketana yesh laknas, a young girl, she does receive a fine. The Gemara says, Ema Seifa, go to the latter part of the Baraita. If you remember in the Baraita, we brought a latter part. It said, Ailonit, a woman who cannot give birth, cannot have babies, Ein la lo knas lo pitu, she does not receive any fine. So the Gemara says, Ata le Rabbi Meir, we're going on the second part, like Rabbi Meir, the Amar that he says, Ketana Ein la knas, that a child would not have a knas. And what's the story over here by the Ailonit? Veha mikatnuta yatzta la beger, and this woman, from a young age, from already childhood, she went out to go to Bagrut. She skipped the stage of Na'ara, for being a Na'ara, right? We know this Ketana, then 12 years old, with two pubic hairs, she becomes this Ketana, then at 12 years old, she becomes Na'ara, and then 12 and a half, she becomes a Bogeret, right? She skipped this stage, because she is an Ailonit. So he's saying that she jumped this stage, and this would really follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that a Ketana would not receive a fine. So really, the beginning part of the Braita is going like Rabbanan. The latter part of the Braita is going like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanan v'seifa Rabbi Meir. So the initial part of the Braita is Rabbanan. And the latter part of the Braita is following Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, V'chi tema, maybe we can say, Kula Rabbi Meir hi. The whole Braita is really Rabbi Meir. And how do we explain the first case? Umemma'enet, by refusal. Savar lak Rabbi Yehuda. Really, Rabbi Meir holds like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? So we have to see Rashi for this. Rashi says, Savar lak Rabbi Yehuda, da'amar na'ara mima'enet, that a young girl refuses, v'hachi tiduk mina. This is how you should imply from it. Na'ara mima'enet ein laknas. If a girl who's a na'ara, she does a refusal, she does not receive a fine. Ha na'ara ba'alma, but if she's a regular na'ara who did not do refusal, you can understand, yesh laknas, she does have a fine. So this could go like the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who says that in general, a child does not have a fine. He's talking about a regular na'ara, you can infer that does have a fine, and that's what we can understand from that first part of the Braita. So really, maybe we could say the whole Braita is following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, Umi Savarla, does Rabbi Meir hold like Rabbi Yehuda? V'hatane, we have a Braita clearly, explicitly, that shows he does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Ad matay habat memayinet, when, until what point is the young girl allowed to do refusal with the husband? Ad shetavish shtei se'arot, divrei Rabbi Meir, until she brings two pubic hairs. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, ad sheyarbe se'arot, shachor ad lavan, until the dark becomes darker over the white. What does that mean exactly? I think it's an analogy to understand. Rashi explains, meaning it has to be that she has two pubic hairs that are long enough that are sitting flat on her private. That's what it means. So until that point, but you see anyway, the point is that there are difference of opinions. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are not agreeing. So how can we say that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda if Rabbi Meir really does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, Ela Rabbi Yehudahi. Rather that Baraita must be talking, it must be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ubiktana, and by the case of a young girl, Savar lak Rabbi Meir, he holds like the opinion, we're flipping it around, he holds like the opinion of Rabbi Meir. That what do we say by Rabbi Meir? By the case of Ailonith, she was Yatzta, Mikatnuta, the beggar, she went from a young age to become a Bagrut. And so therefore, she does not have a fine, so even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that usually you do have a fine, he holds like Rabbi Meir by a ketana, by a young girl, under the Bat Mitzvah, that would not receive a fine for being violated. So that's how we'd understand the Baraita. The Gemara comes back and says, "Umi Savarla, does Rabbi Yehuda hold like Rabbi Meir?" Ve'amar Rabbi Yehuda, we know Rabbi Yehuda says, "Amar Rav, Zodi v'Rei Rabbi Meir." We're going to see this later on, I believe, on Daf Mem, if I'm not mistaken. Daf Mem Amud Bet. The Gemara will bring these are the words of Rabbi Meir. So what should that Gemara have said if they agreed? It should have said, "Ve'imita." It should have said, "Zodi v'Rei Rabbi Meir." Ve'Rabbi Yehuda mi'bayilei. It should have said, "This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda," if they were in agreement. But they're not in agreement. So it only said Rabbi Meir. So therefore, it cannot be that they agree. So clearly, that it's not showing that they agree. So how do we explain who the Baraita is? So the Gemara says, Hai Tana, our Tana, Savar lak Rabbi Meir bechada. He holds like Rabbi Meir in one case, in the case of a Ketana, Upali galei bechada, and he disagrees with him in another case, meaning in the case of the Mema'enet, the case of the refuser, that we said that Achi Yarbe Ashachor, until it becomes that she has two long pubic hairs. So that does not go like Rabbi Meir. But the second case, the case of the Ailonit, that does go like the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So this is answer number one, how to explain the second case in the Baraita of that one is it's a Tana, that one opinion he holds like Rabbi Meir, one hold he does not hold like Rabbi Meir. Second answer the Gemara brings, Rafram Amar, my Mema'enet, what are we talking about when we said Mema'enet, a refuser? Ha-re'uya lima'en, a woman who is fit to refuse, meaning she has to be at the age that she can refuse, that anytime she is a young girl. And really the whole Baraita can go like Rabbi Meir. We're not inferring that a young girl does receive a fine. We're saying that anyone at the age of refusal would not receive a fine. And that would be, the whole Baraita would not work according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So this is the second answer to prove the opinion of Rabbi Meir. This was the second part of the Baraita. We're now jumping to the third part of the Baraita. Again, I'm breaking it down like that. Okay, third part of the Baraita, we said, Ailonit, a woman who cannot have children, in la lo knas velo pitui, she does not receive any fine for any violation or seducing. We're meaning we have a contradiction. Achereshet v'ashota v'ailonit, we have an explicit Baraita that says, a chereshet, a woman who is deaf mute, or shota, a woman who is shoita, v'ailonit, and a woman who is cannot have children, they do have a knas, v'yesh lehen ta'anat betulim, and they do receive a ta'ana, meaning against them, for betulim, meaning the husband can come and say, I didn't find dam betulim, I didn't find her to be a virgin. This is against what we just said. So the Gemara says, Hai vehai mai rumia. What is he contradicting? What is he asking a question of? Ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbanan. You're bringing another Baraita that says the exact opposite. So what are we going to say? You're going to think it's a contradiction of Rabbi Meir? No, it's two different opinions. Well, the first one we said was a Rabbi Meir, really. Now we're saying we're talking about the Rabbanan. Right? This is two complete, right? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ha Rabbi Meir, The Amar Kitana in La Klas Knas. The Ilonin Mikatnuna Yatsala Beger. He says the Ilonin, she came from a Kitana to jump to a Bagrut. She does not receive a fine because he holds, Rabbi Meir holds, that a child does not get a fine. Whereas the second case is talking about the opinion of Rabbanan, who says that an Ilonin would receive a fine. So therefore, it's two different opinions. So the Gemara says, Udekarela, my Karela. The one who asked the question, what was the question? Meaning, what, he didn't know this was the explanation. One is a Rabbi Meir, one is a Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Mishum de itle le mirma achariti lave. Because he has another baraita that contradicts our baraita completely. Acharejet vashota vabogeret vumukat et. We're adding a few cases. We're gonna add a few cases now. But it says acharejet, a woman who's a deaf mute vashota, and a bogeret, a woman who's reached the age of bagrut, umukat et, a woman who's been hit by a wood in her private. Okay, all of these women in lahen ta'anat betulim, they lose, that you cannot make a ta'ana against them that they didn't have virginity because they were assumed that they're not a virgin. Hasuma, but a woman who is a blind woman ve'ailonit, and a ailonit cannot have children. Yesh lahen ta'anat betulim, they do receive a ta'ana betulim, meaning we would assume maybe they still have their virginity, and the husband can make a ta'ana saying I didn't find betulim. But what do we see from here? We said at first the chereshet and the shota, they do have a knas. Now we're saying, and they do have tanat betulim. Now we're saying, chereshet and shota, they do not have a tanat betulim. This is against what we just said explicitly. Okay? So that's why he asked the question. And then we add another two cases. We added the case of a bogeret, the case of a girl who reached the age of bagrut. We said she does not receive a tanat betulim. Now we're adding another case. Case number six we're going to add. Hasuma ve'ailonit yesh lahen tanat betulim. Now we add a blind woman or a woman cannot have children. They do have a tanat betulim. Okay, so what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Sumchus omer. Sumchus says, actually, Mishum Rabbi Meir, the name of Rabbi Meir, Suma ein la tanat betulim. That a blind woman does not receive a tanat of betulim. So now we're going to ask, we're going to find out in the opinion of Sumchus why that is. But before we get to that, we have a clear, explicit contradiction over here. Do the chereshet and shota have a tanat betulim, or they do not have tanat betulim? Is the husband going to come and say, I did not find virginity, or not? Do they receive a fine, or they don't receive a fine? So the Gemara says, Amar of Sheshat, Lakashia, it's not difficult. Har Abban Gamliel, Vahar Bioshua. Oh, we're going all the way back now. We have to now remember, you see, without Chazara, you can't remember. If you go back to the first parak, the first chapter, on Daf Yud Bet, over there we wrote a machloket, and all of the Mishnayot in the first parak, machloket between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabban Gamliel said that we say migo, since she could have said, I was raped when I had already become engaged. And she said, right, she could have said, look, Rashi says, the Amar Per Kama, he omered Misha Erestani and Anasti. She said that I was raped when I got engaged, but she could have said, I could have said that it would happen before the engagement. So what is she doing? She's bringing more negativity on her. Because being raped after you get engaged means now she's saying I got raped, and what is it doing? It's making her asur to any Kohen in the world, asura to any Kohen. It's making worse for her. So Rabban Gamliel says, Migo, we say we believe her in that case, right? Whereas Rabbi Yoshua said, no, we don't believe her. And so therefore, what would be the difference between the two opinions? Do we give her Tanat Betulim or we do not give her Tanat Betulim? So according to Rabban Gamliel says, we believed her that she was raped. We don't give her Tanat Betulim anymore because we know she's not a virgin anymore. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, we don't believe her. So therefore, she still has Tanat Betulim. The husband can still come and say, I didn't find Betulim. So it'd be a contradiction of opinions. It's not a contradiction of opinions. It's Rabban Gamliel versus the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara asks, Emar dishmad le Rabban Gamliel hechadeka ta'ana ihi. When do we say the opinion of Rabban Gamliel? Do we say migo, since she said something negative about her, it must be that it's true. When do we say that? When she is the one who makes the ta'ana. She's the one who makes the proof. Hechadeloka ta'ana ihi. But if she didn't say anything, if she stayed silent, mishmad le, does Rabban Gamliel say his opinion? She doesn't say anything over here, right? So why are we inferring all of a sudden that we say migo in this case? Rabban Gamliel only said that when she says something. So the Gemara says, in. Actually, yes. Since Rabban Gamliel says we believe the woman, so in this case, even though she doesn't say anything, we take the pasuk from Mishlei. We open up her mouth to the mute person. Meaning, even though it's like an analogy saying that even though she stays silent, she doesn't say anything. We're going to open up her mouth and view herself, since we believe her. If she would come and testify and say that, hey, I was raped after I got engaged, so we believe her. So therefore, we say the same thing over here. We say that she no longer has ta'anat betulim. And if the husband comes and says, oh, I didn't find you to be a virgin, he has no more ta'anat, because we would have believed her if she did say something to begin. Okay, that was case number three. Now, we added, if you realize, we added the case of a bogeret, a woman who reached the age of Bagrut, and we added the case of a Suma, a blind woman. So now we're going to open up both of those cases. We said a Bogeret does not receive a Ta'ana, that she does not, she's not a virgin. Rav says, Bogeret not nina laila rishon. Rav says explicitly that a Bogeret, we give her the whole first night, meaning the husband can sleep with her as many times as he wants, and he can say that all of that blood is virginity blood. What do you infer? That she does have virginity blood. Why are you saying she does not have virginity blood? So flipping the Amud, the Gemara says, remember, we had a difference of explanation in the first chapter. If someone comes and says, I found dam betulim, right? If I didn't find blood, that's a more specific. Whereas if he says, petach patoch matzati, I didn't find her to be a virgin, that's more vague. And so therefore, it's harder for him to define that. So we would believe him in the case of because he would know if there's blood or not. But if he says petach patoch matzati, that I didn't see her be a virgin, how do we know that he is fluent to know if she's a virgin or not? So he's saying, if you say that, he makes a ta'ana, I found blood, right? Sorry, idika ta'in ta'ana damim, I did not find any blood, then what do we say? We believe him, because he's very precise. He can be able to tell if there was blood or not. What are we dealing with? He comes and says that I didn't find any petach patuach. I didn't find her to be a virgin. So that we're not so for sure if he's so fluent to know if she's a virgin or not. So that's why we wouldn't believe her in this. We wouldn't believe him in this type of case. Okay. Sumchus. Then we added the case of a blind person. Right. This is case number 5 now. Sumchus Omer, Sumchus says, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Suma in la ta'anat betulim, that a blind woman, she does not get against her, a man, the husband come and say, I didn't find her to be a virgin. Why not? So the Gemara says, Ma'i tamad Sumchus, what's his reasoning? Amar bizera, mipnei shenichbetet al gabea karaka, because she's going to fall on the floor, and she's going to bleed, and she's going to lose her virginity. The Gemara says, Kulunami chavutei michbetei, everyone might fall on the floor and lose their virginity. Why only the blind person you're worried that she'll fall and bleed and not realize? So the Gemara says, "Kulu ro'ot umar'ot le'iman, zo eina ro'a ve'eina mar'a le'ima." All women who fall, if they bleed, they're going to go show their mothers. Hey, look, I started bleeding. Meaning, they might think they lost their virginity. But a blind woman, they can't see, so she can't realize that she's bleeding. She won't go and show her mother, and so therefore nobody will know that she lost her virginity. And that's why there's no ta'anat betulim. The husband can't say, "I didn't find her to be a virgin." Case number 6, and I believe this is the last case, and we'll finish with this case. If someone comes and says that my wife, they didn't find virginity by the wife, she does not receive a fine, not for rape or for seducing. So the Gemara says, Hayotzet mishum shemra batzakilahi. If the husband says she slept with someone while they were already married, she's liable to death. She gets stoned. So what are you even talking about? She doesn't receive a fine. Obviously, she doesn't receive a fine if we're putting her to death. So the Gemara says, no. Amar shishad achika amar. This is what was meant to say. A woman who had a rumor go about her that she lost her virginity, she did something from a young age, so when she gets older, she does not receive a fine for rape or seducing. So meaning in her case, it's not talking about a woman who is already married, it's saying from a young age this happened to a girl. Okay? Amara Fapara Fapa says, Shema Mina, we can learn from this. If you have a bad document, a document that had like forging, it had rumors about forging on it, so what happens? We don't remove anything from that document. We don't understand that the document is true because there was potential forging done. What's the case over there? Maybe a rumor came out that this document has forging done. There was some sneaky business going around. So the Gemara says, what, we're going to say the same thing? Let's say a rumor came out about the girl that she was zanaid, she went and slept around before marriage. Are we going to believe that? Obviously not. How do we know that not? Rava says, Yatsa la shem mizana ba'ir ein choshashina. If a rumor came out that she slept around before marriage in the city, we don't believe that rumor. We don't believe in rumors. So the Gemara is saying, why would you believe a rumor in the case of the document if you're not going to believe it in the case of the girl? Ela da'atu betrei, rather two witnesses come and say, Ve'amre ledidu teva'atni be'isura. Two witnesses come and say, she tried to seduce us, she tried to convince us to sleep with her to get something out of it. Right? And that's us, be'isur. So the Gemara says, the kavata hacha, and just like in the case over here, da'atu betrei, two people come and say, Ve'amre ledidu amar lehu zaifuli. They come and say, he came and told us to forge the document for him. This is what he told the witnesses. This is what two witnesses come and say, that the man told them. So that's why we would believe them, and that's why we would say the document is no good. So the Gemara says, "Bishlama hatam shechichei perutzin." It makes sense by the case of the women, right? Because in the case of the woman, there could be a lot of times that a woman is parutz. She's not so sniut. She'll go out and try to convince someone to sleep around with her, so she can get something out of it, right? So that's why we would believe them in that case. Whereas in a hacha, in our case, the case of the document, imhu huchzak, if he has an establishment to go and try to make people forge, we're going to think all of Am Yisrael is bad and all of Am Yisrael is going to go and forge. Why don't we believe the document? So what are we saying over here? Since he's going to look for someone to forge, if he doesn't find someone, what is he going to do? He's going to forge it himself. And so therefore, because he'll forge it himself, or because he's looking for someone to forge, he might forge it himself. And therefore, we would say that document, if there's a rumor about forging, we would say that document is completely pasul, and we would not believe that document. Okay, we'll stop here at the Mishnah. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen ve'amen.